Since the attacks on the World Trade Center on 9/11, the United States and its allies have been waging a worldwide war on terrorism. This war is being waged using vast military and economic resources, yet in spite of all this, the war continues on, still unwon. Why? What really lies behind the ever-growing threat of terrorism? Where is it headed? Many now live in fear, wondering where all this is leading. Did you know that this current wave of terrorism is directly mentioned in the pages of your Bible in Bible prophecy? Will America win the war on terrorism? If you want to find out what the future really holds on this important subject, then stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, John O'Gwen asks, will the terrorist win? And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. How is the war on terrorism going to affect our world in the years ahead? Did you know that all of this is directly mentioned in the pages of your Bible? You know, some of the greatest geopolitical events in world history are going to occur in direct response to the effects of global terrorism. You need to understand how these things will drastically affect and change your life. Now first, let's look at the magnitude of the problem. From places as diverse as Bali and Madrid have come reports of explosions and mangled bodies. Suicide bombings in Israel became so commonplace that they rarely even warranted front page coverage any longer. Kidnappings and terrorist tactics have seriously dampened foreign tourist interest in countries like Colombia and the Philippines. Add to that the periodic discoveries of anthrax-laden envelopes at the post office, airport delays and temporary closures due to security fears, and it quickly becomes apparent that terrorism and the threat of terrorism carry a multi-billion dollar price tag. Now, in human terms, the cost of this war has included thousands of civilians who were simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. Many others have lost family members, friends, and homes. There are thousands of American National Guard members who've had their lives turned upside down when their units were activated and dispatched to the Middle East. Often dubbed weekend warriors in times past, National Guard members were generally associated with cleaning up after hurricanes and floods. Now they've been filling in the gaps of an overstretched American military, trying to fight a war on several fronts. Scenes of young husbands and fathers, and even young mothers, being dispatched for who knows how long to areas remote from America's shores, have tugged at the heartstrings of millions who've watched on television. Far more sobering have been the stories and pictures of the hundreds of young soldiers, many not even out of their teens, who've returned to home and family in military coffins. Now, in addition to the cost in dollars and lives, the war on terrorism has had an enormous psychological cost as well. The most mundane and common of places have actually been the front lines in this war. Restaurants and coffee houses, malls and small shops, train stations and bus stops, they've all been the targets of terrorist strikes. People have been killed and maimed, people ranging all the way from the elderly to little babies in arms. The very randomness of the violence has had a dismaying and terrorizing effect on many. Another casualty has been some of the very freedoms that we in the Western world have long taken for granted. freedom of easy movement and travel, as well as from surveillance by our own governments, have long been taken for granted by citizens throughout the English-speaking world. Yet, as a result of the war on global terrorism, there are now checks and restrictions at which people would have simply rebelled merely a few years ago. No longer, however, frightened at the potential dangers, people now tolerate restrictions that would once have been considered more characteristic of authoritarian states. A war on terrorism is being waged using the vast military and economic resources of America and its allies. The latest in technology has been brought to bear. Yet, in spite of all of this massive expenditure, the war rages on unwon. Why? How is it that a relative handful of fanatics is able to, in effect, set the agenda for the world's most powerful nations? You know, my friends, we've looked briefly at the magnitude and the cost of this problem, but let's ask an important question. Where did all of this start? How did something like this get going? What has fueled such an explosion of terrorism on the world scene? The idea of a person strapping explosives onto his body and calmly walking up to a crowded bus stop to blow himself up along with as many victims as possible, that's something that is absolutely incomprehensible to most of us. Why in the world would anyone do such a horrible thing? Of course, the idea that someone would hijack an airplane and fly it into one of the world's tallest buildings, killing everyone on board and destroying the building and killing thousands inside, why, that's something that would have seemed like the plot of an adventure thriller prior to September 11, 2001. However, as Walter LeCour pointed out in his book, No End of War, Terrorism in the 21st Century, almost no terrorism occurs in the world's poorest 49 countries. Furthermore, the 20th century's most repressive dictatorships, Hitler's Germany and Stalin's Russia, were free from terrorism. LeCour argues that terrorism flourishes either in countries that are democratic or else in a completely inefficient dictatorship. He asserts that far from suicide terrorism being a purposeless manifestation of despair, it is rather a tool of highly organized groups that train, guide, and arm terrorists. Did you know, my friends, that there has been a clash of civilizations between European Christendom and the Muslim world that has been going on for well over 1,000 years? Traditionally, the Islamic powers have been centered on the southern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. European Christendom is based on the northern shore of the Mediterranean. The history of the Roman Empire showing the divisions that have taken place and the development of European civilization on the northern part of the Mediterranean and the expansion of Islam across the southern shore. This did occur over a period of centuries. During a period of about seven centuries, the Byzantine Empire, which was the remains of the eastern leg of the old Roman Empire, steadily retreated before the onslaught of advancing Islamic armies. These armies advanced across North Africa and into Spain in the 8th century. They moved northward against the Byzantine Empire. Constantinople, the capital, eventually fell in 1453. Muslim armies continued to advance. They moved on up into Europe through the Balkans and ultimately into the heartland of Europe until they besieged the very gates of Vienna in 1529. This clash of two civilizations, one based north of the Mediterranean, the other based south of the Mediterranean, is directly mentioned in Bible prophecy. Now let me show you in Daniel chapter 11 and in verse 40, we read about this clash of civilizations, about the fact of a king of the north and a king of the south. We're told that at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, speaking of the king of the north. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and many ships, in other words, great military armaments, and he shall enter into the country, shall overflow and pass over. Talks about entering on into the glorious land, speaking of the land of Israel. My friends, who is this king of the south and this king of the north? In the next portion of our program, I want to examine this and other prophecies in much more detail. But first, I'd like to offer you a free booklet, a booklet that will help you to make sense of this entire subject. Our booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy, will enable you to understand some of the most important news that is going on in today's world. It'll give you the background of what's happening in the Middle East, but not only the background from a standpoint of politics and history, but it will give you scriptures in your Bible that will plainly show where these events are headed. You need to understand where the war on terrorism is going. You need to understand where it's headed, and in order to do so, you need this free booklet. So, my friends, please write or call for this free booklet, The Middle East in Prophecy. You could even order it on our website if you prefer. But please request your free copy of this booklet right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. We've been looking at the war on terrorism and at some of its roots. To put terrorism into perspective, you have to understand that it is not merely random, mindless violence. Rather, it must be seen for what it really is, the most recent tactic in an ongoing clash of civilizations that stretches back for well over 1,000 years. Terrorism is a global network. Now, where does the money for such an enterprise come from? According to a task force formed by the National Security Council to investigate such matters, the money has largely come from Saudi Arabia. U.S. News and World Report carried an article on the subject and reported the following. Over the past 25 years, the Desert Kingdom has been the single greatest force in spreading Islamic fundamentalism. While its huge, unregulated charities funneled hundreds of millions of dollars to jihad groups and al-Qaeda cells around the world, starting in the 1980s, Saudi Arabia's quasi-official charities became the primary source of funds for the fast-growing jihad movement. American officials now acknowledge that it was some of these key charities that helped transform ragtag bands of insurgents into a sophisticated global movement. Now, my friends, where is this war on terrorism headed? Events in the Middle East and in Europe are going to drastically change your world in the next few years. Now, how and why will that be? Why will these things directly affect you? Undoubtedly, a response to the threats of terrorism with its assault on life and property. These are going to be factors that propel events in Europe over the next few years. In Daniel chapter 11, we read about these two power blocks, this king of the north and king of the south, as they're called right here. And we read that there are things that are going to happen in the end time. Now, if you go through the context of Daniel chapter 11, we find that in the aftermath of Alexander the Great's death, the empire, the Greek-speaking empire, the Greek civilization that he established, began to splinter. It went into basically four divisions, governed by four of his generals. But this is traced all the way down to the end time. And as you go through the context, you find that there is identified a king of the north and a king of the south. The king of the north is basically the Roman Empire and the continuation of that Roman Empire as it has come down through history. But just as the Romans to the north of the Mediterranean were the heirs of Greek civilization, so also was the southern shore of the Mediterranean. This portion has been inherited by the Islamic world. And there are two power blocks that have developed, and the push between them and the conflict between them is laid out in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. Now, back in Revelation chapter 13, we read about the beast, what the Bible calls the beast power, this resurrected Roman Empire. In fact, in Revelation chapter 13, we have the story picking it up with the ancient Roman Empire, and we find that the Roman Empire fell. The beast received a deadly wound, as the phrase used in Revelation 13 refers to the fall of the Roman Empire in 476 A.D. That empire was revived by Emperor Justinian in 554, called in history the Imperial Restoration. Revelation 13 describes the development and the continuation of this empire down through history, down through the period of the Middle Ages. Revelation 17 picks up the story and focuses more on the very end time, focuses on this revived Holy Roman Empire, an empire that was in alliance with a great religious institution. My friends, there is a final revival of that empire that is coming. There's a final revival of that system that is arising in Europe. Now, that is going to, in many ways, be in response to events that are happening right now in the Middle East. There's going to arise a very powerful, a very charismatic leader who is going to unite Europe in response to the threats, threats to their security, threats to their economic stability. The Bible talks about a king of the south. This describes a coming Middle Eastern strongman who will attempt to forge a confederation of Muslim states. His attempt to gain the upper hand in this escalating clash of civilizations will provoke an all-out European-led assault on the Middle East. The king of the south will push at the king of the north. This can involve everything from terrorist tactics to using oil as a weapon, trying to force the Western world to do certain things, trying to force Europe into a certain stance. Ultimately, that push from the king of the south is going to provoke a response from the European-led king of the north. Terrorist threats are an increasing threat to security and prosperity worldwide. Not only the Jews living in the state of Israel, but also inhabitants of the United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are going to find themselves singled out in a special way by the terrorists. There's going to be a growing wedge between these nations and a power block that is centered in continental Europe. When a clever, charismatic leader begins to emerge on the scene in Europe, it will be in a climate of escalating uncertainty and crisis. He's going to promise a restoration of peace, of security, and of prosperity. And in order to do so, he's going to inaugurate an authoritarian state that is scarcely imaginable by most people in our society today. While this authoritarian control will suppress the sort of terrorism that is currently growing, it will do so at an enormous cost, the cost of launching a campaign of state-sponsored terror against all who don't give their total allegiance and devotion to this future union of church and state. This is talked about in Revelation 13. We find this demand that total allegiance be given to the state. We find even a description of so-called religious miracles and wonders that the Bible elsewhere labels lying wonders. These things are going to happen. They're going to occur in the years immediately ahead of us. My friends, if you really want to make sense of today's news, you need to request our free booklet, The Middle East and Prophecy. You know, you can tune into the news on television. CNN and NBC can tell you what happened yesterday. This booklet will tell you what's going to happen in the future. It's the only place that you can go pointing you toward your Bible that will tell you tomorrow's news in advance. We invite you to request your free copy of the Middle East and Prophecy. You can write for it. You can call our toll-free number or even request it on the web. But please call or write, request your free copy of the Middle East and Prophecy right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, there's a reason why we in the English-speaking world can expect terrorism to worsen. I want to call your attention to a prophecy that was spoken to the ancestors of the people in the English-speaking world, the British and American nations, recorded back in Leviticus chapter 26. God has inspired Moses to talk about the blessings that he desired to give to his people. But in verse 14 of Leviticus 26, we read, "If you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, but if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but you break my covenant, I will do this unto you, I will even appoint over you terror, along with wasting disease and fever." He described a time when the enemies of our nations will literally reap the benefits of our labors. God described an attitude of despising His statutes, abhorring His judgments, not just simply messing up a little bit here or there, not just a mistake, but an attitude of despising what comes from God. You know, my friends, we live in a society right here in the United States where a judge can get in a whole lot more trouble for posting the Ten Commandments than he can for breaking them. Proof in point, the Supreme Court Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court was put off the bench because he posted the Ten Commandments in his courtroom and wouldn't take them down. There was another judge a little bit earlier in the state of Louisiana that was found to be engaging in sexual relationships with prisoners brought before her court. That judge wasn't kicked off the bench, received a verbal reprimand, and that was it. No, my friends, God talks about terror, one of the beginnings of the punishments that are going to come. But future terrorism is not the end of the story. You see, speaking about a time beyond right now and beyond the events of our time, God talks about in Isaiah 54 and verse 7, "For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I've hid my face from you for a moment." He went on to talk about a time in the future, verse 14, "when you shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, you'll be far from terror. It shall not come near to you." There's some bad news immediately ahead if our nations don't repent. But there is good news beyond that. But my friends, what about you? What about the years between now and the glorious future time when the kingdom of God is going to hold sway over all the earth? What hope is there for you and your family? Terror and disease epidemics are going to stalk much of the world around. Those who genuinely seek to walk with their Creator, however, need not fear. In Psalm 91, we read God's promise to those who really hearken to Him. Verse 5 of Psalm 91, "You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, the destruction that wastes at noonday." Well, God talks about His protection. Rebellious and disobedient nations are going to be brought to their knees by the events of the coming years. Global terrorism will play an important part in the events of these terrible times. However, there's good news that lies ahead for a chastened and repentant humanity. My friends, you can partake of that good news right now. You can partake of it without having to suffer these coming punishments if you will turn to your Creator with all your heart and become willing to truly obey Him. Think about it, my friends. If you walk with God, you need never walk alone. The 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you're with me," the psalmist says. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When you walk with God, you don't ever have to walk alone. Global terrorism does not have to frighten you. To really understand this entire topic in much more depth than I've been able to give you in this program, please request your free copy of the Middle East in Prophecy. Also, be sure to tune in each and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I make plain to you the prophecies of your Bible and explain the very purpose of human existence. So, my friends, be sure to join us right here, same time, same station, next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.